This is KVNF's regional newscast for Monday, March 22nd. I'm Gavin Dahl with headlines. 12,000 pounds of rock fell on the intake pipe for the Ouray Hydroelectric Power Plant last week. The Ouray County Plain Dealer reports the rock slab also took out a catwalk used not only for the workers of one of the oldest power plants in the country, but also the ice climbing park. The rocks fell in the middle of the night last Monday. It's expected to knock the plant offline for 3 months. It also caused the ice climbing park to close early for the season. Gunnison County Sheriff John Galowich announced Wednesday the arrest of a suspect in the slaying of Anna Victoria Rascon in a rare case of homicide in Lake City. Jorge Solis, 23, has been charged with the second-degree murder of the 22-year-old woman from Rifle, who was found in the Arrowhead subdivision southwest of Gunnison on March 7th. The Lake City Silver World newspaper reports a caretaker found her body and did not recognize her. The Colorado State Auditor has completed an annual audit of the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment with strong criticisms. The Colorado Sun reports the auditor's office chastised the Department of Labor for its lack of financial reporting and internal controls, which resulted in unverifiable adjustments of $2.1 billion to the State Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund. The CDLE also submitted data after deadline with errors and omissions that included a nearly $21 million understatement of cash and an approximately $1.4 billion omission of expenditures. The report was for fiscal year 2020, which ended June 30th. The Denver Post reports State Auditor Diane Ray issued an unprecedented disclaimer of opinion in the 2020 statewide financial audit released Tuesday, saying she and her staff found the Labor Department's accounting so messy that it was impossible to determine the scope of the problems. The state's auditors gave the Unemployment Insurance Fund the lowest possible rating for a financial audit. The CDLE lost key staff just before and during the pandemic, but then the number of claims last year was equal to 5 years' worth of regular state claims, and they were in a rush to process them. They blame much of the poor record-keeping on a decades-old computer system that failed to flag fraudulent claims, which proliferated in the pandemic unemployment assistance program, as reported here on KVNF. The BLM plans to initiate prescribed burns beginning today along Government Springs Road south of Montrose and in the Dominguez Escalante National Conservation Area on Dry Mesa above Escalante Creek near the Montrose Delta and Mesa County lines. The Montrose Press reports the 200-acre project aims to reduce hazardous fuels, improve rangeland health for livestock grazing and big game habitat, and provide protection to adjacent private properties. The BLM obtained smoke permits from the State Air Pollution Control Division. Colorado lawmakers will have more money to spend in next year's budget than they originally thought, thanks to an economy that is getting boosted by coronavirus vaccines and federal stimulus. KVNF's Capitol Coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
Economists who predict the legislature's financial future say the worst of the pandemic recession is now behind Colorado, and stronger than expected tax collections this winter means lawmakers can add more than $600 million to next year's spending plan. Kate Watkins is the chief economist at the Capitol.
We've seen a remarkable bounce back above pre-pandemic levels already in our sales tax collections. When it comes to general fund revenue, it's remained very resilient during the pandemic.
But economists still have some reservations. They say higher income workers are faring much better in the recovery, and they say their rosy economic projections depend on the continued success of vaccines. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
Thousands of event organizers and venues will see relief thanks to a settlement reached between the Washington State Attorney General's office and Brown Paper Tickets. Event cancellations since last March saw ticket buyers' money vaporize. Kate Redmond has the story.
Brown Paper Tickets, which touts itself as a sustainable, independent ticketing agency, has gotten itself into big trouble. Since all events nationwide shut down last March, ticket money has not been refunded to ticket buyers or to venues. With little response from the company or recourse, the Washington Attorney General's office got involved. Brown Paper Tickets is based in Seattle. One venue that's been stiffed is the Paradise Theater in Paonia. I spoke with Sunshine Knight, executive director. For years, Brown Paper Ticket seemed like the ideal kind of grassroots ticketing agency to serve small venues such as the Paradise Theater. What was your relationship with them prior to the shutdown?
I would say they were really reliable up until maybe the last year before the shutdown, and then payments started being delayed.
They seemed ideal. They were like 5% of ticket price, 99 cents for ticket buyers, no setup fee, no sales fee, no long-term contracts, no credit card processing fee.
Yeah, it was great. We could print physical tickets. We could have online sales. I'm not finding any other ticketing agency that did what Brown Paper Tickets was doing.
When did it become clear that this was going south, that your customers who bought tickets were not getting refunds and neither were you?
It was a conversation I had with Brown Paper Tickets the last week of March. We had canceled, actually at that time, we had postponed two of our events. And I called them up and told them that I'd reached out to our customers and that many of our customers wanted their ticket money to be donated back to the Paradise or to hold on to it for a future show. And the conversation was very weird. She got really defensive and I started taking steps to contact our customers. So I would say that was my first like red flag. It was in early May when I contacted the Washington State Attorney General's office.
Well, the Washington State Attorney General did their work. The lawsuit has found Brown Paper Tickets engaged in unfair and deceptive acts. They owe $6 million to organizers nationwide and $760,000 to ticket buyers. Do you think you will see your money?
I hope our customers will see their money. That's really what it comes down to. We have such a great community. And when this all hit, there was so much support and everybody just, they didn't want their money back. They wanted it donated to the Paradise Theater. They wanted to use it for a future event. Brown Paper Tickets, I feel like, took advantage of that situation.
And they're still operating.
They are still operating.
The Sherboneau Theater in Ridgeway dodged the financial bullet. They had researched Brown Paper Tickets, but they needed more flexibility in their seating charts. Here's Tricia Oakland, program director.
We went with a company called Yapsity. They do a flat 50% discount for nonprofits across the board. It was really easy to sign up, and they also had the functionality of reserve seating and seating chart options. And so that was a really good fit, actually, for the Sherboneau and for Weehawken Creative Arts.
Washington Attorney General Bob Ferguson settled with the company last week. The ticketing agency is required to fully refund all customers who purchase tickets to canceled events and pay all money it owes to organizers of past events. An estimated 45,000 event organizers and ticket purchasers nationwide will receive a total of approximately $9 million from the resolution. The company is also required to pay the Attorney General's office $70,000 for attorneys' costs and fees, and they are on a timeline. Again, Sunshine Knight.
The lawsuit stipulates that they have to pay it back within 7 months.
Brown Paper Tickets did not respond to multiple requests for an interview. For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. Donate in support of news during our spring membership drive on our website, kvnf.org, or call 866-KVNF-NOW. I'm Gavin Dahl.